Grace, peace, and mercy to you all from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, what an interesting day. We begin with a wonderful praise song. And Lord, and yet now the service has changed to kind of a sorrowful tone and mood, Father. Help us to remember what your Son has done for us. Help us to remember that in our lives. But Lord, not to stay in this place of guilt, but Father, to rejoice and have joy because of what your Son has done for us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Tell you who wasn't there. The text goes like this, right? Pilate called them together, the chief priests and the rulers and the people, and they said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. After examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him, neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him." But they all cried together, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas." We don't know a whole lot about Barabbas. I think that popular culture has done a few things with this character. I've heard of one movie where Barabbas becomes a Christian, believing in Christ. I've heard of another movie. I've watched another movie where Barabbas was later on in his freedom from leading another rebellion against Rome and got killed by a Roman soldier. We don't know much about Barabbas, except for what the scriptures say about him. And the reason why he is famous is because he was the man who was on death. He was the man who was supposed to be crucified that day. One who was trying to lead an insurrection. one who was charged with murder. Who is Barabbas? We can say that very literally, the man who Jesus took his place, right? Very literally, Jesus took his place on that cross. So was Barabbas there? No, he wasn't. He was let go. Who is Barabbas? I am Barabbas. You are Barabbas. Maybe you're not guilty of leading an insurrection. Okay? Maybe you don't have literal blood on your hands for committing murder. But as far as the spirit of the law goes, I am a murderer, and so are you. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if you look upon your brother with hate in your heart, you are guilty of committing murder." You may have not literally committed adultery by the letter of the law and slept with somebody else other than your spouse. And yet, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if you look upon a woman with lust in your heart, you have already been guilty of breaking my commandment." All sin and fall short of the glory of God. All of us do. And so, were you there when they crucified my Lord? No, because my Lord took my place for me. Jesus went through hell on that cross. What is hell? Hell is going to be a physical yet spiritual place. It's going to be a place that when people die and they go there, they're going to have an eternal knowledge of where they are. There's going to be a consciousness to it, and it's not going to be wonderful at all. It's going to be terrible. In fact, probably so terrible that we shouldn't even wish it upon our worst enemies. But theologically speaking, we can describe hell as the complete and total, utter separation from God. And that's one of the most amazing things to try to wrap our heads around this day. The Son of God was separated from God. He was separated from the Father and the Holy Spirit. He was completely forsaken by his disciples, by his family, by his friends, and by his God at that point in time. He was going through hell. And he did so that you and I wouldn't have to do that. I am Barabbas because Jesus took my place. You are Barabbas because Jesus took your place. The text goes on to say, two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And they came to the place that is called the Skull. And there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." How amazing is that? A man who was completely righteous, was perfect in every way, kept God's commandments perfectly, understood the letter of the law and understood the spirit of the law better than anybody. This man, who is innocent, cries out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But we know that this man was not just some regular guy. This man was born of a virgin. He was the one that was prophesied about. He was the one way back when Adam and Eve fell at Eden. He was the one when God looked upon him and said to Eve, "Through your offspring, there is going to be a Savior. And he will crush the serpent's head, and the serpent will bruise his heel." This is who Jesus was. He was that promised one. And here, the serpent was bruising his heel. Here, Jesus was crushing Satan's hold on us forever. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus asks us to be like him, right? It's interesting. The fall of man was about Eve being told by the serpent, "God doesn't want you to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because if you do, you will be just like him." Eve wanted the power and the authority. And yet, when Jesus commands us to be like him, he wants us to live like him, filled with grace. So yes, when someone sins against you as a Christian, your Savior is calling to you to say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." How can we be so free to set others free, to set ourselves free from grudges? Because a grudge is nothing more than the worship of someone who hurts you. You hold a grudge against somebody because they caused pain in your life, and you refuse to forgive them, and you harbor ill will towards them, and you actively hate them. That is a form of worship. You are making an idol out of your enemy. And yet, when you realize what Jesus did, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," Jesus is setting us free. And he's allowing us to forgive ourselves for what we've done. We can look in the mirror and say, "You know what? I'm not a sinner anymore, because I'm a new creation." I'm a new creation. I'm not a sinner. My identity has been changed forever. And therefore, I can forgive like Jesus forgave me. And I can be set free. Totally and completely. And why can we do this? Because while we are Barabbas, we're also children of God. Were we there? Maybe not in a physical sense and time and place. But the Apostle Paul tells us that we've been baptized into Christ's death. And just as we've been baptized into Christ's death, so we've been buried with Christ. And just as we've been baptized and buried with Christ, so we will rise with him. We've been baptized into his resurrection too. We're about to take a meal together, a holy meal, holy communion. A meal that Christ says, "Take this for the forgiveness of sins." We remember what Christ did on the cross for us when we take this meal. And as we remember it, we also are not just remembering what Christ did, but we are understanding that his presence in some mystery is there in the bread and the wine. And we're taking it, and our sins are being forgiven. And we're being renewed in that. And so spiritually, we are being connected to this perfect sacrifice of Jesus. Now, well, you are Barabbas and I might be Barabbas. Not in a literal sense, right? But certainly in a figurative sense, because Jesus took our place, a spiritual sense, a theological sense. Jesus took our place on that cross. We're also that thief. I like what Martin Luther said of Christians. And I'm not sure, I think he might be pointing to pastors too as well in this, because he says, what we are is we're just a bunch of beggars pointing other beggars to where we get our bread. Meaning that we all need God, and we need to point ourselves, we need to help, we all need help being pointed to the bread of life, Jesus. Right? We hear the story of the criminals that were hung next to him. And in Matthew and Mark and in John, it mentions that both criminals railed against Jesus and spared him, slandered him, mocked him. But in Luke, we see that he caught wind of the account. Someone, maybe it was Mary, because Jesus' mother looked upon him when he was on the cross. But somebody heard one of the thieves wake up and come to repentance. The text goes like this. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And you can pray that almost every single day. Many of you have a Catholic background. Tell me in the Bible where there mentions purgatory. Nowhere, right? Jesus says to this thief who confessed that he deserved to be up there, this man who was undeserving of heaven, undeserving of eternal life in paradise, because of this awesome sacrifice of Jesus, because this man believed, he was able to confess, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus' answer was this: "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Not in a little while the flames kind of clean you up a little bit and make you cleaner and we polish you up so you can come into the heavenly courts. It was, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." A thief, deserving of his punishment, deserving to not be with Jesus, deserving to go to hell, instead was promised that he would enter paradise. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Not by our works, but by his work. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus so that none can boast. And yet, something happens too to us. Jesus changes us. The Holy Spirit changes us. We are made into his workmanship. We are made into his masterpiece. And he created us to do good works that he laid out for us to do from before the beginning of time. So yes, good works matter. But not for your salvation. Because Jesus took care of that. So that you could be. So that you could be at his workmanship. And so that you are able to do good works now. What must you do to be saved? Believe in the one that God sent. If we believe in our hearts that Jesus rose from the dead, and if we can confess with our mouths that he is the Son of God, we will have eternal life. I think I actually want to flip that. If we can confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our hearts that he rose again, we have eternal life. Period. End of story. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It is finished. We have eternal life. So one day, you who believe, rejoice. Don't just carry sorrow and grief in this week. Don't feel like, oh man, I'm so guilty that Jesus had to do this for me. Rejoice that he did. Rejoice that he loves you. Because one day, and you never know when it's going to be, one day though, Jesus may come to you and say, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Because Jesus took your place on that cross. It is so. It is true. It is perfect and it is wonderful. Amen.
Amen.
May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds, and keep them from now until life everlasting.
Amen. Amen.